So on the line, normally this time we talk to Eddie from Jordan and Eddie, and today we're doing exactly that. We're talking to Eddie from Jordan and Eddie, but we're also talking to Jordan from Jordan and Eddie. Hello, guys.
Hello. Good to be here. Thank you.
So, Jordan is a real person, everyone.
Yes, yeah, we didn't make him up. It wasn't just a... you know, Eddie isn't suffering from some sort of mental disorder where he actually... there are two of them.
Some people think that. That would be kind of funny.
Well, at least he's not suffering from this particular mental disorder. So.
No.
So Jordan and Eddie are my two favorite movie reviewers and guys who just love talking about movies and thinking about it and spending their times watching it. So this is why we talk to them on, well, we record this on a Friday, which is right now, Friday mornings, and we're going to play it out a little bit later, obviously. But, gents, it's been Halloween. I'm not sure, is Halloween a thing that is celebrated in Australia at all?
It's getting a little bit bigger. Probably when we were young, it was a bit more of a foreign thing, like only Americans do that, but we do have a few trick-or-treaters and certainly probably a lot more, I guess, paraphernalia and people are seemingly doing more and more Halloween activities, and it's a bit of a tradition now to watch a horror film like it is in America and things like that. So, yeah, definitely getting bigger in Australia.
So with, you know, Halloween coming around, even though it might not be a thing that you celebrate, because we also, it's only really starting to get a bit of popularity in South Africa as well, but for years, we've used Halloween as an excuse to, like, watch all the best and worst horror films. But lately, it seems like horror is making a really big comeback. There's been some really good psychological horrors, a really good just out-and-out scary slasher flicks. What is it about people that love horror movies? Why do we love it so much?
Oh, I think it's an interesting one. I think what people often overlook is that when it comes to the history of cinema, horror is probably the oldest genre. And I guess since its inception, I mean, the first point of a film was to sort of shock an audience, wasn't it? When you look at train arriving at a station or the earlier sort of Lumiere films, the whole point of cinema has always been to shock and surprise. And I think horror films as a genre became an extension of that. And like, you look back through history, I guess it's only modern history, but horror is the only genre really to have dedicated fanzines, have dedicated magazines all throughout the last probably, you know, 40 or 50 years. Famous Monsters of Filmland, Fangoria, Gorezone, websites dedicated to horror more than any other genre. So I think that throughout modern history and sort of Eddie and I's generation and above, horror has always been the most well-supported genre from a fan dedication perspective.
So, you know, there seemed to be a phase when horror was kind of, I don't want to say lame, but, you know, you had, like, the Screams, and I Know What You Did Last Summer, which, when you know, when we were young, those were like, whoa, these are great movies. But looking back, they're not good. Right? They're not really that scary. The acting's not great. The plots aren't good. And yet we still love to watch them. But now we're seeing really clever, scary movies coming through. Is there a particular horror movie that's come out over the last maybe two or three years that Eddie and Jordan, you guys separately love?
Oh, look, for me, I guess I sort of enjoy seeking out more of the foreign horror films. And I think, you know, perhaps horror's always been indicative of society's fears at the time. And I think that probably when society feels the most safe is when horror movies can often be the most lame. I mean, probably not necessarily a bad thing in context, is it? Probably a good thing. Probably the last few years, gee, what have I enjoyed? That's probably a little while ago now, but the French films like Martyrs and Inside, those sorts of psychological horror films. But as far as America goes, I really enjoy what James Wan's doing with the Conjuring franchise.
Mm. And for me, I think one of the ones that stuck with me the most recently was The Witch, which was from last year. Robert Eggers was the director, I think that was his name. He may be British, I'm not entirely sure, but that was a really, really well done. Again, probably more of a psychological horror based around 16th century lore and writings and I guess fears that society had at the time, especially to do with witches. That was a really, really good film, and I'm the same with Geordie. I think James Wan, who is Australian, so we're probably being a little bit biased there, but what he's kind of done from Saw, and he's moved forward, and pretty much everything he's touching at the moment has been, you know, successful in some form or another. So he's on a very good run at the moment, and he seems to really know the horror genre and what people want. And even though some people accuse him of jump scares and tactics like that, his films are very proficient and really tell pretty good stories as well, which, again, probably got lost for a while there in some mainstream horror films.
So probably one of the biggest horror films to come out this year, in fact, as far as I'm aware, the biggest one would be the remake of It. Have you guys watched it? And what do you think of it compared to the original?
Yeah, I think we've both seen it. And as far as I'm concerned, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think it's interesting. I mean, when it comes to American properties, obviously there's nothing really hotter than Stephen King, and he seems to really be able to capture that suburban American, the American nightmare, so to speak, like the inverted white picket fence and happy suburban family. He seems to just sort of do the invert of that and show us America's nightmare and our darkest fears. And I think it, being that it captures fears we have as a child, and then later on, you know, the uncertainties of adulthood and our regrets, I think that it really resonates with middle-class people. I think that it's a really strong narrative, and it's also just freaky. The clown's freaky. The music score was really good. The characters were all endearing, and we wanted to see, you know, good things happen to them, knowing that wasn't going to be the case. I think that it surpassed the original, and given it's really the only feature film adaptation, and I don't see the original quite as a feature film, to me it was really effective. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well, mate. Look, maybe a little bit overhyped. There's probably never been a movie that jumped on at the right time more than it, in the fact that I guess there was this bit of a weird resurgence of crazy clowns. And I know when the teaser first came out, it was viewed, I think it broke records for viewership kind of over the first 24 hours. It just, their marketing was brilliant for the film. It really did. It covered a wide range of people, nostalgic people wanting to watch it again, or I guess younger kids seeing it for the first time, and it was very well made. But yeah, look, I think just recently, actually, it broke records for the highest grossing horror film ever. I think it's like over 800 million worldwide, something incredible. So the amount of money it's made off a relatively small budget, I mean, it's a major success story, and I do think we'll see studios probably trying to tap into that, like Jordan said, a little bit, I guess, about those childhood fears. And we may get a lot more horror films centered around these young group of kids on the verge of, I guess, teenagehood or growing a bit older. And I think we'll see the studios starting to copy each other as they always do when something's successful. But, yeah, look, a very well-made film. And, yeah, I know the cinema screening I went to, it was virtually packed and people seemed to really get into it. So it felt like an experience watching it, which sometimes, I guess, modern-day films aren't that anymore.
And I suppose this, I mean, you're talking about tapping into, you know, almost like the childhood fear and using children in these scary scenes. Stranger Things, which I know isn't a movie, but it really, Stranger Things really does tap into that same sort of, you know, using our most innocent and vulnerable to scare the living daylights out of us.
Yeah, it's interesting that, isn't it? I mean, when I speak to people about Stranger Things, I know Jordan's probably the same when he has a chat to people about it, but it seems to be that the 80s, it's, I guess all these people that grew up in the 80s, it brings back that nostalgia. And I think we spoke a few weeks ago, mate, about films like The Goonies and these kind of wild adventures, and Stranger Things really taps into that whole nostalgic theme. And it actually reminds me a lot of a film like, say, Stand By Me or any of those type of films, the way these kids are growing up together and I guess learning to deal with life while also having this crazy adventure as well. And I just recently finished the second season, so I won't spoil it for anyone, but they certainly keep that 80s vibe well and truly intact.
I literally just signed up for Netflix so that I can watch the second season.
You ruined
it for me.
I know. I think originally for me it was a big signing. I guess the reason why I signed up for Netflix was Stranger Things, to see what all the fuss was about. But look, they really struck gold, probably a bit like It. I mean, the right place, right time. There wasn't really anything like that in the marketplace at the time. And you get these people that grew up in the 80s and early 90s that want to experience those type of films or TV shows again. And Stranger Things does that, all the while tapping into a new generation. And I think, you know, every generation wants to see these stories about kids growing up. And we like to be scared. And I wouldn't call Stranger Things so much a horror. It certainly has scary things in it, but it's this kind of, I guess, sense of dread or something bad could happen. And, I mean, the kids are quite colourful characters. You can almost resonate with at least one of them that might be similar to you, and they do a great job of that. And, again, I'm probably a bit surprised there hasn't been more shows like Stranger Things since it's been a success, but I wouldn't be surprised if like it, studios start to really try to tap into more of these things with kids. And I guess it's very unbelievable in a lot of ways, but also for some reason it gets you in and makes you believe like it could happen, a bit like it. It feels like it could happen for whatever reason, which is sometimes hard for films like that or TV shows like that to do.
Yeah, I guess what it comes down to for me is that as a child, we all have fears, like, and we call them childhood fears, but the reality is that as we grow up, we like to think that we've overcome them, probably just because we don't experience them as much, but realistically, we totally do still carry those fears with us for our whole life. And what films like these do is it reminds us of that, that we grow up, but we don't necessarily leave all of our sort of past fears behind. And so that's why these will always be effective, these types of horror films and series.
We're very good at pretending like we're not scared, but we're actually deep down still those scared little boys.
I'm not scared of the dark, you know. I like to say out loud. That's right.
So, you know, earlier this year, a bit of an indie film, Get Out, also not really a horror, more of a thriller, but it kind of caught everyone's imagination, this idea that, you know, a new director, sure, you know, Jordan Peele has been around for forever, and he's been doing his acting forever, but first directorial effort. I was quite amazed at how quickly that movie spread, even before it was released. A smaller movie got a lot of attention. Are there other movies like that that are really good, that are thrillers or horrors that you think, actually, you know what? People have not given this movie enough attention. They haven't given it enough love because this movie is actually great.
Oh, plenty. And look, I think sort of a lot of indie American directors were achieving great things. I think that Ty West, as an independent horror filmmaker, he's now achieved recognition, but it's almost a little bit of a shame that now that he's achieved recognition, he's almost veered away from his more nostalgic throwback horrors a little bit. But for me, his earlier films like The Roost and like House of the Devil, and certainly The Innkeepers is another one. The Innkeepers, I think, doesn't get enough credit, but these films were not just throwbacks. They're also terrifying in their own right and just so well made as a celebration of horror decades and eras gone by, but also celebrations of what can be achieved now through modern technology. And I think, you know, certainly he would be a filmmaker I'd like to highlight a little bit more. He sort of lives in the shadow, a little bit of sort of your Adam Wingards, a little bit in terms of the young American horror directors. And I think he's certainly a very fine filmmaker. And before him it was Lucky McGee. I think The Woman and May and the work that he's done since with Jack Ketchum, I think he's certainly another filmmaker who is so talented, and he just chooses to ply his horror, to ply his trade in horror. And if he almost worked in another genre, perhaps he'd get more credit. But there's certainly a lot of young American filmmakers who ply their trade in horror, and probably because of that, don't get the broader recognition they deserve.
I'll throw in a couple of Australian films as well. They're probably not as commercially viable as Get Out was. I mean, that tapped into a very, I guess, hot topic issue over there in America at the right time. So a bit like It, again, it's, you know, their marketing for that film was brilliant and how it really tapped into this whole, I guess, there's this tension between white and black races still in America that's very, I guess, it's bubbling just under the surface, and Jordan Peele really nailed that whole, I guess, they don't want to talk about it in a lot of ways, and Get Out talked about it in a really different way. And look, a couple of Aussie films of recent time that were really good horrors was, look, one from, I think it might be even, look, 5 years old now, but it's called Snowtown, which was brilliant. That was a very unnerving film. And another recent one called Hounds of Love, which is a very hard film to watch, but it is brilliant in the way it deals with, look, I guess probably the mind of killers and what drives these people to do these horrible things. And Hounds of Love is well worth checking out. That was released, I guess, in some territories probably last year and more so this year. So a bit of a plug for some local films. But, yeah, look, they're two ones that if people like their thrillers a bit dark and I guess realistic, they're definitely worth seeking out.
I think plus and get out, what we're sort of overlooking a little bit is just that fear of meeting a partner's family for the first time. I think that's a pretty universal one that shouldn't be overlooked as well. I mean, some people can relate to that.
I still get that every time I go to my in-laws. I still get that fear. So
we can all relate. That's
Well, listen, gents, thank you so much for your time. And those are a lot of really great suggestions for us to guard and give ourselves a bit of a scare this weekend. Jordan, fantastic to talk to you for the first time. And Eddie, thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, we need to make sure that you guys stay together in the same city for as much as possible. That'll be great.
No worries at all, mate. When we catch up next time, which is pretty rare, we'll let you know. But we actually live in completely different cities. So it's funny. We run the blog together, but we don't actually get to meet face-to-face that often, but it's always good when we do. So we'll certainly let you know next time that happens.
Thank you. Well, have a Foster's on me. If you want to check out Jordan and Eddie's website, go to jordanandeddie.wordpress.com. All of their reviews are there. All of their best-ofs are there. And you can get to know their tastes in movies. Trust me, you want to get to know what these guys have to say because they know. They know films. They know what's good, and they know what you need to watch. So go to check out jordanandeddie.wordpress. Guys, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Terrence. You're a